Greetings, greetings, once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we want to welcome you to listen to the smooth sounds of the Weekly Worldview this week as I tone it down a little bit to try to make it through the hour. I am suffering through day three of cold or something like that, and so the pipes are a little oh-shaggity for the show today, but hopefully I can make it through. I want to thank you for joining us. Despite the fact that I'm ill, I'm sure you're feeling great because you've been waiting all week just for this, just like I have. And I'm excited to announce right off the top that Venezuelan troops are abandoning their posts at the border. That's right. As Colombians, and where's their other border? My public school is showing. I know they have Brazil. That's right. Colombian and Brazilian border checkpoints. We've got. I've seen some very compelling video of obviously starving women with their obviously starving children grabbing the rifles and shaking the soldiers, and the soldiers just look perplexed because they don't want to shoot the lady, and the President Maduro has told them to shoot the lady and shoot the kids if they have to. Anyway, it's all coming to a head there. And it was good to see some of the Venezuelan troops have abandoned their posts. Maduro vows he's going to stop the import of humanitarian aid from foreign countries. And we know that means mostly the United States, as it always does. Maduro says that the foreign aid is an attempt by the United States to undermine his authority. He's a pretty perceptive fellow, eh? Yes, Mr. Maduro, that's what it's about. Maduro continues to get support from Russia, Cuba, and China, and Iran. They left Iran off there, although Iran's not able to do very much physically. They're with Maduro in spirit, and hopefully, very soon, the socialist dictatorship there in Venezuela will collapse. And we thank President Trump for that. So we're going to get to him later, but for right now, we're just going to say thank you, President Trump, for undermining the authority of the Maduro regime. We appreciate that. We certainly don't want to see anyone get hurt down there, but I think an awful lot of people have already been hurt and died. And so if there has to be bloodshed, I hope it's swift and effective. And I hope that it's led by the United States of America. Thank you very much. That's all. Okay. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Americans are upset because their tax refunds are down this year. Their tax refunds are down and people are upset. In fact, the Treasury Department finds itself playing defense, preemptively trying to explain to people that because their taxes went down and less was withheld, their refund will be less. But people don't understand that because most people, well, here's the thing. Anyone who gets a refund from the IRS, from the federal government for their federal income taxes, they're already being deceived and ripped off. And most of them don't know it. Or I shouldn't say they don't know it. They don't ask about it. They've actually been groomed by the federal government to expect that refund check every year. And they don't realize that when they pay the government money they don't owe them every 2 weeks out of their paycheck, that it's like paying into a zero interest savings account all year. And then at the end of the year, you get your money back less inflation, if there was any. So you're being ripped off and deceived. And on the flip side of that, the perverts running the government, the liars and the thieves and the murderers who run the government, they get to use your money all year to destroy your neighbors. Yeah, so So anyway, don't be upset that your refund is down this year, because that means your taxes are down. I don't know. Should I even try to explain it? I don't even think it's worth trying to explain. I think it's beyond the capacity of most people to comprehend. So we will just move on away from taxes and to the point where I now feel blood in my throat. I believe my throat is actually bleeding. I may not be able to do the full 62 and a half minutes that we normally do, folks, or I just have to bring it down. Is it possible I could just bring it down? Because see, I'm naturally inclined to be kind of pumped up when I do the show, especially when I go to the science. Really? File. Especially when I say science, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. I was just commenting on how attractive you are. That's all. Yes. So we go to NASA, where the administrator, is that an official title? Administrator Jim Bridenstine. Is that all you get when you become the top guy at NASA? You're the administrator? It seems kind of anticlimactic. You know, it seemed like you'd be the director at least. Or maybe this is some low-level guy. I don't know. Jim Bridenstine. I never heard of him. But he lands this week in the science. Really, file? Oh, boy. So walk with me a minute here on this one. Jim says... He says that NASA is getting close to actually detecting traces of life. And he means out in outer space, just in case. NASA stands for the National Aeronautic and Space Administration, mostly space. Yeah, he says that NASA intends to continue the search for life, and they're not that long away from finding it, as he said. Uh-huh. He says that in the near future, we're going to be analyzing samples even further to build upon what we've learned from the samples we've already analyzed from the Martian surface. Yes, future missions will bring more samples from Mars, where Jim and the others at NASA hope to find biosignatures. Biosignatures are things left behind by living things, allegedly. Biosignatures. Jim says, Administrator Jim, I think I have to say. It's not Captain Jim, like James T. Kirk. That would have been Captain Kirk. This would be Captain Bridenstine. I appreciate the fact that Bridenstine just has S-T-I-N-E and at the end of his name. Now you know how to pronounce that. Because if it's S-T-E-I-N or S-T-I-E-N, nobody knows. It's Steen or Stein. Half the time it's Steen. Half the time it's Stein. Jim's ancestors had the courtesy to just drop one of the letters so it'd be really obvious to us Americans how to pronounce his name. So Administrator Bridenstine, we want to thank your great-grandfather for that. but he says that, what does he say? He says the goal of NASA is to discover life on another world. And that's what we're trying to achieve. So did a memo go out that I missed? Is that the goal of NASA? I thought the goal of NASA was to explore the universe and do science and analyze data and test hypotheses and prove or disprove theories. That's what I thought. But no, Jim says the goal is to discover life on another world. Which means he's already operating under the assumption that there is life on another world. Which I don't think that's science, is it? Aren't you supposed to assume at the very least a neutral position? I suppose maybe that's the current hypothesis that he's going to go with. Anyway, I don't want to argue with the guy. He is an administrator, after all. He reminds us, by the way, Administrator Bridenstine, Administrator NASA. He says that observations from Mars show that it's a promising place for life to have once lived or still live, he says. Now, what observations those could be, perhaps it's the extreme cold and the lack of an atmosphere. Oh, wait a second. Those would make you think that maybe it wasn't a promising place. Well, let's not argue with him. He says the building blocks of life have been observed on Mars. Complex organic molecules and the water needed to break those molecules down into something completely useless. Okay, well, there you go. So, yeah, anyway, we'll just leave it at that. No, I have one more sentence from the article. Down in the middle, toward the end, the reporters over at the Independent in the United Kingdom who wrote the story say this: NASA hasn't ever found evidence that life exists or could even exist on Mars or anywhere else in the universe. Throwing a little cold water on Administrator Bridenstine's goal there, aren't you? It's not a very friendly thing to say. Anyway. But they tuck the truth into a very small area down toward the end of the article where the average schlemiel never gets. Mostly they read the headline. The headline says, NASA is well on its way to finding alien life. That's according to the boss of NASA, known as Administrator Jim. All right. So there you go. More preparation. You know, we got to lay the groundwork because it won't be long before the theory of Darwinian evolution collapses of the weight of observed data. And they're going to have to go somewhere. And as we've predicted on this show, we know where they're going. They're going to be following Jim to the aliens. Aliens. That reverb doesn't seem right. I got to adjust that. We might need to change the oil in the reverberator. You might need some of that. All right. Meanwhile, that was from the London papers. That was the Independent, which I'm not all that familiar with it, but I know that it's written with an accent, a British accent. And now we go to the Daily Star, which is another UK paper. And the headline screams out to us in a British accent, "The FBI is plotting to keep DNA of the entire population on file to create a nation of suspects." Horrifying, terrifying. Yeah, President Trump, they tell us, has signed the Rapid DNA Act into law. Oh, no. That's right. And that means the police in America can routinely take DNA samples from people who are arrested but not yet convicted of a crime. And apparently that is upsetting a lot of the anonymity advocates. Yes, the advocates for anonymity. Forgive me for snorting and like that, but I can't help it. And I can't get the sneeze button every time because I'll be hitting it every 3 seconds. So you're just going to have to bear with me. You might just, if you hear me pause for a second, hit mute if it's grossing you out. I understand. So the cops can now take your DNA just like they take your fingerprints. Now, I've been arrested on a number of occasions. And every time I've been arrested, they take my fingerprints, even though I tell them, hey, you guys already have those. It's okay. No, they take them anyway. Well, now they're going to be able to take your DNA and they're going to keep it on file. Yes, the new law, which Trump signed in 2017. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing something right, by the way. It comes into effect this year. It's going to require states to connect their rapid DNA machines to CODIS. Now, I didn't even know there were rapid DNA machines, but that got me interested. That piqued my interest. I was like, oh, a rapid DNA machine. That sounds cool. What's that all about? Well, CODIS, by the way, is the national DNA database that's maintained by the FBI. And these rapid DNA machines are portable and about the same size as a desktop printer, and they can deliver DNA as routinely as the basically like taking fingerprints. It's going to be, they're going to be able to take your DNA in a few minutes. And so they'll make it easy for us, which is nice, because the last thing I want to do, if they're going to take my DNA, I don't want to stand in line. And I don't want an attitude from a bureaucrat. I'd rather deal with a cop there on the side of the street And then he can just, I can spit into a cup and hey, we're good, right? You know, the last thing I want to do is take a number and go sit down with the dregs of society, analyzing people's neck tattoos as I'm waiting to give my DNA. I want the ability to give my DNA rapidly, and I appreciate the fact that someone's been working on that, and they've already got it. They've already got it taken care of. Now, there are critics, as you can well imagine. In fact, the article was written by a critic, as you can tell by the headline saying, creating a nation of suspects. We're all suspects. Oh, no, it's terrible. Is that now? I don't know why they never said that about fingerprints, although some of these lefties, they might even think that about fingerprints if you gave them the ability to have that argument. In fact, I shouldn't even bring it up. Because now there's some leftist maniac out there who's going to object to taking fingerprints. All right. And so, see, there's some things we should not even allow there to be a debate about. If you want to debate the legitimacy of the police taking fingerprints, I think you should be arrested. And we should take your fingerprints. And we should put you on trial for sedition, for suggesting the obviously same things that we do every day are now possibly going to be made illegal. As on the other side of the coin, you make the insanely destructive things that were illegal in the past, you want to make all those legal. You know, some people call that the hard left. I just call them the crazies. The crazies. Or, as I've coined the term, thank you very much, they're not just a hard left. They're the ruling left. And it is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with me here, even as my throat continues to bleed. Now, speaking of blood, this is weird. So it's winter out here in Colorado, and it's cold. And it's generally miserable, and there's snow and all of that, right? It's a lot of the time. And so I'm still on my mission to lose some weight after quitting smoking and ballooning up like a beluga whale for the better part of a year. And so I want to get some exercise, but I don't like to go outside because it's cold, and I don't like to go outside in the cold. And I certainly don't want to go out and exercise in the cold and the snow. I could slip and break a hip. And so instead of outdoor activities, I have taken to doing some remodeling around the McBurney compound, and I've been doing some painting and some spackling and some filling and some more painting. And in order to paint properly, I learned a long time ago, if you're painting a surface that has been lived in for any amount of time, the first thing you want to do is you want to clean that surface. You don't want to be putting the paint on over a thick layer of dust and funk and oil and grease. Because I'm not sure why, but for some reason that's improper, I was told. And so I've been cleaning areas on the walls and ceilings of the McBurney compound that are little observed in daily life. Places that you generally don't look or even think about, I have been staring at intently for hours over the past couple of weeks. And I don't know if this is true of every house, but it seems to me there's a lot of blood all over the place. Tiny little drops of what appear to be blood. I must have seen 30 of them. And I go and I wipe them up, and sure enough, they come right off. It's not ink. It's not paint. It's like, man, what's been going on in this place? There's like little splatters of blood everywhere. So anyway, I just want to give you a heads up that if you are trying to hide your DNA from the federal government, it probably already exists on some rarely viewed segment of your wall. And if the cops want you, well, they're going to come and get you because it's all over your house. All right. So you may not know this, but I do. I have advocated in the past, and I continue to advocate, that every child born in America, their DNA should be put into the database. And everyone should be compelled to donate their DNA to the DNA database. I know. And if you're a privacy advocate and you believe you have the right to be anonymous, well, you're just wrong. You don't have that right. And just because you haven't committed a crime doesn't mean the police don't have the right to have your DNA on file. Because, well, let me get back to this story and then I'll conclude that, okay? Because there is an answer to that. So we've got these rapid DNA machines, but the we have a critic. One critic of rapid DNA says these machines are not foolproof. And it's spelled F-U-L-L-P-R-O-O-F, at which point I said, wait a second, is the King's English different than mine? I always thought it was foolproof. Well, it turns out that the editors at the Daily Star in the United Kingdom are morons, and they actually put foolproof. I don't want to blame this critic for saying it. He probably said foolproof, but the publicly educated moron in the editor's suite there at the Daily Star, he missed it. This critic says this is all this DNA gathering is an erosion of the concept of innocent before proven guilty. How is that? How is that? This is when you get arrested. When you get arrested, I mean, the police may assume that you're innocent in a legal sense, but they also think you might have done something. That's why they take your fingerprints. They have probable cause. They arrested you. So anyway, this is not all about innocent before proven guilty at all. And that's a pretty lame concept, too. Because if you've killed someone and we just haven't figured out and put all the pieces together yet to convict you, you're still guilty. I mean, we can presume you innocent in a legal sense, but we don't have to actually presume your innocence. We have to suspend disbelief. That's like, I'm just going to leave that aside. This guy says, you know, you're shedding DNA all the time. Huh? And he says now it's up for grabs by the police. They could swab it off the park bench. They could swab it off the blood up in the corner of the bathroom where you didn't even know it was. And if they find a match, or if a misconduct occurred anywhere in the vicinity where your DNA was found, you might find yourself charged with a crime you never committed, merely because you happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay, and there's a double negative. I've always hated that term, the wrong place at the wrong time. If you're going for some positive outcome, it can only be that you were in the wrong place at the right time or in the right place at the wrong time. If you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, nothing happened. It wouldn't be worth commenting on. But let's leave that aside because that's just another one of my grammatical hang-ups that I have. And here's the thing that this critic doesn't understand. DNA alone cannot prove or even likely qualify as probable cause to arrest anyone. Just because you found someone's DNA in a public place where a crime happened, that's not probable cause to arrest them, certainly not to convict them. But it could help the police start to sort through who all was there. Because the perpetrator was there. Don't you want to find the perpetrator? And so you get inconvenienced. They call you in. You have to leave the bathhouse for 20 minutes and go down to the police station. Quit whining. All right. Let's see. Then this critic, whose name I'm just not going to say because I don't care, he decries a loss of privacy. When what he really means is a loss of anonymity, which nobody has a right to anonymity. They make you get a driver's license. When you're born, they take your footprints. Did you know that? Oh, my goodness, they've stolen your privacy from the day you were just a little bitty kid. Oh, let's see here. The critic goes on to say, people shouldn't just blindly trust the government or the state. Okay, well, I agree with that. Hey, look, we found some common ground. Let's part ways friends. Yes, you shouldn't blindly trust the government or the state. But whether you like it or not, Johnny, that's what we'll call this critic, Johnny. Whether you like it or not, Johnny, the governing authorities were ordained by God to execute justice upon the evildoer, and they have certain rights to certain information, and just because you don't like it, that they might know which bathhouse you go to, well, too bad. Let's see. He said, oh, here you go. He reminds us the FBI had a file on Martin Luther King Jr. They had a file on John Lennon. All right. Well, that's why we say you do right and you risk the consequences. We give the government their due. We acknowledge their due authority. And if they do wrong, well, that's on them. That's not on us. Could it hurt us? Yes. Could the government always hurt you at any time for no reason? Yes. Do they still have the right to execute justice? Yes. Could they be bad? Yes. Are they bad? Yes. But that doesn't matter. It's not the particular pile of criminals running the government at this time. It's the institution itself, and the government has the right to have DNA. And if they use it for nefarious purposes, to do injustice, well, God will take care of that in this life or in the next. But see, if you don't believe in God, then you flip out because you have no concept that everything is going to be made right in the end. And that if I wasn't assured in my heart that everything was going to be made right in the end, I would probably go crazy and be afraid all the time. It's like my friend. I had a friend die this past week, a fella named Bob Hill. He was a pastor of mine. I ran into Bob as I was as I had begun to seek the Lord after quite some time away, and I could not have run into a better fellow. And Bob has been suffering from Alzheimer's for 10 years or so, really badly, and he was incapacitated, and his wife had to take care of him on a daily basis. And if Bob's wife, Joan, hadn't had in her mind the fact that all this suffering that she's going through for the past decade, if she didn't have an assurance, a sure assurance, that all of that time would be redeemed with joy that she couldn't even comprehend, she might have lost it. She might have went crazy. She might not have been able to take care of Bob. She might have stuck him in a home, or who knows what kind of insanity could have crept into Joan's mind. But instead, she cheerfully took care of Bob, and now he's in a much better place. He's no longer suffering, and he's just waiting to see her again, and everything will be made right in the end. So don't freak out. This life isn't the only life. In fact, this is just a very brief moment in eternity that we spend on this earth. And in the end, the judge of all the earth will make everything right. So don't worry about that. At least I shouldn't say don't worry about it. Don't freak out about it. It's okay to worry about it. For example, I'm worried about the state of domestic tranquility in America today as I go to the domestic tranquility file, where I was sitting with my extremely attractive audio engineer the other night. And on the news was a mass shooting. And my bride asked, is this that mass shooting that I just heard about? And I said, which one? And then we went back and forth over which mass shooting it might have been. Could it have been that one? I think it was in Michigan. Are you sure? Was it 4 people or was it 5? I'm not sure. I don't remember. We did a little research, and we realized there was too many to keep track of. We weren't sure which mass shooting that we might have been thinking of, but I think it was this one she was thinking of. This was Monday last week out of Kent County, Michigan. 3 elementary-aged children and an adult woman found, all dead of gunshot wounds. The story came out Monday that the police say that the incident did not include an active threat to the community, mm-hmm. which is
it's a martyr
It's a way of saying, yeah, it's a murder-suicide. So more than likely, this is three elementary-age children and their mother. More than likely, but we don't know. I went and looked for updates on the story, and I tried to find some, but there are none, not even in the local paper. Because even in the local paper there in out of nowhere, out west Michigan, that nobody ever heard of, Little Town Paper, they were already on to the next murder there. There's another murder that they're covering. And so they didn't have time to update whether this was a mom and her children, but chances are it was. So a story that should shock the nation can't even stay in the local bumpkin newspaper because there's so many people being slaughtered left and right. So police say they don't think there's an active threat to the community, except, of course, for the general threat of bloodshed against just about anyone at almost any time, but specifically children. The general threat that hangs over every town USA every day. My pastor, Bob, got an email from a listener this past week. His next-door neighbor murdered his wife. The next-door neighbor murdered the next-door neighbor's wife. And it's shocking. It's like a family detonation artillery shell that landed right next to this guy's house. And it really makes you wonder, how long is it for any of us before we get struck by some shrapnel from the next detonation? Doug McBurney, welcome back. very sad state of affairs for domestic tranquility, which that was one of the responsibilities that our founders gave to the government, was to protect domestic tranquility. How does it go? Provide for the common defense, preserve domestic tranquility. I don't have it right here in front of me, but it was one of the top ones. It came before Medicare for All, I think. I think it came before that one. All right. Now we move from that to the injustice file, where we have a headline from WTVR in Virginia. New bill could stiffen penalties for people who kill police officers in Virginia. That's the headline. And if you live in the state of Virginia, you would have to stop after that headline and wonder, what is wrong with the people running my state? What is wrong with the proctocracy running Virginia that we could actually stiffen punishment for people who kill police officers? The punishment for killing police officers should not be stiffenable. It should be as stiff as it needs to be. There should never be a need to upgrade the punishment for murdering a police officer. It should be a trial and then a painful public execution in short order. There shouldn't be any stiffenability to it, but there is, because Well, the pile of perverts, queers, child killers, and racist maniacs running Virginia are stacked as high as the Tower of Babel. And so they're going to stiffen the punishment. Let's see, what are they going to do here? And you know what's sad about this story, besides what I just pointed out? What's sad is that this law is being pushed and promoted as a life goal of a woman whose husband was murdered by a criminal. And I feel so sorry for her to have lost someone you love and then to be convinced by a bunch of idiots that the thing to do is to push a life in prison penalty for cop killers, which is what she's doing, by the way. Her new law, or her bill, it's not a law yet, it would make the mandatory minimum sentence life. Murder my husband, you get life. And then she's supposed to be satisfied with that. But I can tell you, Jamie, this is Jamie Walter, whose husband, Mike, who was murdered. And then the maniac who murdered Jamie's husband, Mike, was sentenced to, I don't know, maybe life, I don't know. So, he had a large portion of his sentence suspended after fatally shooting the Virginia State Police Special Agent. I love the way they, when I say love, I mean hate. I hate the way modern urinalists, he fatally shot. He killed the guy. They could have said murdered or killed, but they said fatally shooting, after fatally shooting. I hate that. Anyway, she was upset that he didn't serve out his full sentence. And so she's making the mandatory minimum life because, like so many people, she's been miseducated by the government school systems and the secular ruling left. And she doesn't know that if you murder anyone, you should be put to death. Forget life. Doesn't that just strike you as an oxymoron on its face? You murder a police officer, the mandatory minimum sentence is life. We're going to give you life. That should strike people as incongruous at the very least, but it doesn't apparently. And I've got a quote from Jamie. Jamie says, "We're going to make the mandatory minimum sentence life. That's justice, and that's what we teach our kids." And when the governor signs this, I can say that's what's going to happen. So that's what you're going to teach your kids, Jamie. After having tragically faced the opportunity to learn one of life's ultimate lessons to teach your kids. You're going to teach your kids, the wrong thing, that's all. But I don't blame Jamie for this because she's obviously a grieving widow. But I blame the people who have manipulated her. I blame the people who educated her. And I primarily blame the church because I can imagine that at his funeral, that her pastor or her priest was talking about how wonderful we would all be if we could forgive whoever it was who killed her husband. So she's been confused for quite some time. Let's see. I have a quote from the Senator Bill, part of the proctocracy there, the pile of perverts and pedophiles, maniacs, molesters, rapists, thieves, and liars who run the state of Virginia. And I don't know that Senator Bill is any one of those. I just assume he falls into one or more of those categories. Let me make that clear. He says, quote, "We've got to send a clear message in Virginia. If you attack our law enforcement officers, you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison or you're going to die." Okay, Senator Bill. First of all, everyone is going to die, Senator Bill, so that's a bit of a non sequitur. And you're going to spend your life in prison, Senator Bill. You can't really promise that. In the modern-day justice system, even if they pass this law, that doesn't mean some judge can't let some murderer out early. You know that as well as I do. So you're a liar at the very least. I think liar was in my list. So he's already proven he qualifies for that. What you needed to say, Senator Bill, was that if you attack our law enforcement officers, you're going to die painfully and immediately. On the testimony of two or three witnesses upon due conviction, you will be executed painfully, publicly, and immediately. But that's not what he said because this, well, I don't think I even have to elaborate. I think anyone serving in the government who's been elected, just by the nature of what our government has become, is not qualified to govern. That's my general suspicion about everyone in the government, including the government schools, by the way. I have here reason number 1,192 in no particular order to get or keep your children out of the government school. And for this, we go to Longmont, Colorado, where a middle school teacher was on her way from her home to the middle school at about 11:30 in the morning when she hit another vehicle and then sped away off to school, where she was arrested drunk in the parking lot. Reason number 1,192 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Their teacher might show up just before lunch, hammered. And a hit and run, no less. Now, as far as we know, no one was hurt, thank heaven. It was only property damage. But she was arrested in the parking lot, and the school administration has emailed a statement to parents because they certainly didn't want to stand up in front of TV cameras and have to answer questions about this. And so let me read you a little bit from the carefully worded statement from the administrators at the Longmont. Is it Longmont School? Boulder? I believe it's Boulder Valley School District, if I'm not mistaken. They said, yesterday during lunch hour, a staff member was arrested on a matter unrelated to school operations. So they just wanted to point out that being hammered at lunch is not a part of school operations. It's not required in any way. And by the way, a staff member was arrested on a matter unrelated to school operations. On a matter, really? Is it on a matter? Because I matriculated in a public schools myself, but I would have chosen in a matter. Am I incorrect on that? Correct me if I'm wrong. The funny thing about objecting to grammatical difficulties with a public school educator administrator is they generally can't correct you because they don't know if you're right or wrong. But I would have said a staff member was arrested in a matter unrelated to school operations. See, I keep saying related. It's like a Freudian slip. It's like being hammered at noon, in my mind, probably is related to some sort of school operation. I don't know. After explaining that, the emailed statement went on to say, "We will not be commenting further." If you need any information, call the police. We need a drink. And then the principal, not to be left out, but not to take any questions, he sent the following message via an as-yet undisclosed method of communication, but it was not a press conference. I can assure you of that. He said, quote, "This is Principal Jeremy at the Boulder Longmont. What middle school is this? Does it matter? Altona Middle School. Altona Middle School in Longmont, Colorado. Principal Jeremy says, quote, communication is important to maintaining a I'm sorry. All right, let me try again, okay? I got tears coming up my eyes. My throat is actually bleeding. I'm hacking up blood. Give me a second here. My vision went blurry. By the way, I just want to make clear. Let me take a sip of water before I... Do you ever feel the temperature in your throat escalating until your whole neck burns? And then you realize that your neck is bulging out, and then you feel your neck is really super hot, and you're like, man, I'm going to die. If you've never felt that, that's what I feel right now, just so you can be with me. My vision went blurry there for a moment, and I do want to give you the caveat that I am under the influence of drugs at this moment. I am under the influence of approximately 400 milligrams of ibuprofen, 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and that's my second dose of vitamin C for the day. And I may have a lozenge in between on the next break. If I can find a lozenge, I will be grabbing one. And hopefully that will help with my blurry vision here. Let's see. Principal Jerry sent the following written message to the families affected by this tragedy. That tragedy being a middle school teacher hammered at lunch, having smacked into a car on her way to school. It's tragic. Principal Jerry says, communication is important to maintaining strong partnerships with our families. That's a good way to open up, Jeremy. Yeah. To that end, I wanted to share. Hey, that's nice, Jeremy. Look, hon, he wants to share. Hey, I wanted to share information about an incident that occurred earlier today. During the lunch hour, a staff member was arrested in the parking lot on a matter unrelated to school operations. Just wanted to reiterate that, Jeremy did, that just in case you were wondering if drinking vodka on the way from home to... That's not a part of school operations. Anyway, he goes on to talk about how much he cares about your children and he understands how this might be difficult for you to talk to your child, and he hopes you can find a way to be comfortable. We're working closely with the police. We do not have any additional details. Don't call me. This is a do not reply email, by the way. It's not monitored. Don't call me on this. We will update you as soon as more information is available. I want to emphasize our highest priority of fostering safe and positive learning environments for our students to thrive. Okay, so that did that seem grammatically cumbersome at the end, or is it just me? I want to emphasize our highest priority of fostering safe and positive learning environments for our students to thrive. I think it would be in which our students can thrive or may thrive or will thrive. I could have gone with any of those, Jeremy. But for our students to thrive, it just doesn't strike me as correct. But, I mean, when a middle school teacher is hammered smacking into cars trying to make it to school, grammar is probably the least of the concerns there amongst the administrators. They've got other more pressing issues on their minds that they're having to deal with. And we just want to emphasize our highest priority of fostering a safe environment for all of our friends and say, get or keep your children out of the government schools. View. I had to go for a lozenge. I barely made it back. Now, I did not actually get a lozenge. In fact, what I have here is a Russell Stover chocolate. And so we're going to test a little debate that I was having with the bird whisperer yesterday when I insisted that chocolate is good for the throat, when one finds that one has to speak or perform, if you have chocolate beforehand, it loosens up the pipes and it makes it easier to talk. And she said, you know, chocolate has a lot of sugar and caffeine. I don't think it would help. I said, well, I'm just telling you based on personal experience that it helps. And so you people can judge. Do I sound better now than I did last segment after choking down this Russell Stover chocolate and letting my throat bask in the magic of cocoa? See, that's what the bird whisperer left out, was the cocoa. You can't underestimate the power of just pure cocoa and what it can do for the pipes. And I feel better anyways. All right. Now, oh, by the way, my extremely attractive audio engineer has posited the theory of why the grammar was so poor in the written statements issued by the Longmont School where the middle school teacher was hammered at lunchtime. She said maybe she was the English teacher, and so there was no one there available to write out the communiques in proper English. It's possible. Anyway, so if the English teacher is drunk, nobody knows where to turn for grammar. So anyway, reason number 1192, get or keep your kids out. Now we go to the personhood file, where in Utah, a bill has been introduced to outlaw abortion solely based on Down syndrome. Well, I think that's fine. The bill includes a trigger provision that specifies it will not take effect until a court has ruled on its constitutionality. Well, I suppose I don't really have a problem with that, because I think any of these laws that we try to pass or introduce, they're really just a means to an end, the end being a judicial conflict that would hopefully overturn, so which I kind of think is a pipe dream at this point. But anyway, the U.S. Supreme Court, there's already a legal challenge in the Supreme Court over a similar ban in Indiana. Well, I haven't read the legislation, but I don't think it's wrong to introduce legislation to stop killing any specific group of children, as long as you don't advocate killing any other specific group, which I don't know if you can do that. So I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I wanted to report on it because, well, why did I do this? In her closing statements, the bill's sponsor choked back tears before asking her fellow lawmakers to support the bill. She said through tears, quote, "We must send a message to the world that Utah values everyone," she said. Oh, that's why I wanted to report this. So I would say to the sponsor here of the bill, I'm not going to name her because it's embarrassing. I mean, I know you went to public school, probably just like I did. I mean, we're both disabled in that sense, but I'm familiar with the meaning of the word everyone. And everyone includes not only children with Down syndrome, but includes children without Down syndrome. So I don't mind you advocating to stop murdering children with Down syndrome, but don't say the word everyone, because you're a hypocrite. Anyway, you're doing the same thing Donald Trump did last week. At least she didn't invoke the name of God. But you people, I mean, you can't have it both ways. All right, I'll just move on. Let's go to the Baptist, to the personhood file. If I was a Baptist last week, I would not be a Baptist this week. Of course, I was not a Baptist last week. But I'm upset with the Baptists because Baptist leaders in Oklahoma came out against a bill there in Oklahoma to criminalize abortion. I said the Baptist church in Oklahoma came out against a bill to criminalize abortion. It would classify abortion as murder, and the Baptists apparently have a problem with that. Huh. I mean, am I living in an alternate universe? This is bizarre. A Baptist publication carried an open letter to Baptists there in Oklahoma saying that the organization is opposed to abortion, but you can't have a but after that. You can't have a but after that. If you want to make a point, make another point, but you just can't do that. But that's what they've done. We're opposed to abortion, but they have concerns that the bill will be invalidated by the courts. And they actually go on to say, quote, "We cannot save lives with legislation that never goes into effect." In addition, it unnecessarily and purposely repeals anti-abortion laws that have helped reduce the state's abortion rate. So you see what's happening here. These Baptists have worked to pass all these rules for killing babies over the years that they've convinced themselves somehow has reduced abortion. Even there's no evidence. The only thing that has reduced surgical abortion in Oklahoma or anywhere else is chemical abortion. That's all. I mean, do you think America is experiencing some sort of revival where the children are no longer engaging in premarital sex and in which adultery is no longer happening? Is that what's happening? I don't think I see that happening. That's the only way the abortion rate goes down. Because none of these rules for how to murder babies, none of those aren't things that cunning, crafty individuals can't figure out ways to navigate the paperwork to kill any baby they want at any time. And for any of you suckers who believe that it hasn't been possible to kill any baby at any time for any reason since Roe versus Wade, you are a naive fool. It has always been possible. This whole thing about late term abortion makes me want to vomit. It's like now we deteriorated from wanting to fight abortion to now we want to fight late term abortion. And now I'm starting to hear the terms the hard left. So now we're not just against the socialists and the child killers and the homosexualists who have destroyed the country for the last 7,500 years. Now we're against the hard left. Those are the ones who want to actually put Christians in camps and take over the means of production. I don't understand you people. If you keep moving the bar, we're going to all end up in hell together right here on earth. Would you please stop it with that? The Baptists being a great example here. So the Baptists are basically saying, hey, this will be overturned in the courts. Let's not even fight. What they don't understand that there's value to just bringing up the issue and putting it in people's faces. Because we can't save Oklahoma. We can't save America. We can't overturn abortion. But what we can do is cause people to stop and think about it, and some of them will repent. And so it's worth it. And if you're frightened about your rules for killing babies being overturned, well, I think you're just selfish and quite possibly evil, Mr. Big Time Baptist with your nice suit and your nice clean teeth and your nice manicured fingernails. You might just be evil. Russell Hunter of the group Free the States, who supports criminalizing abortion, says he's flabbergasted. He says what they're essentially saying is that abortion is constitutional and we should not challenge it. Well, thank you, Mr. Hunter. That's exactly what they just said. And I'm glad somebody called them out for it, besides me. It's nice to hear that there's more than two or three of us out there. The Catholic Conference, they said, quote, "This measure as written almost certainly will be deemed unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court and could end up repealing regulations already in place, including the ban on partial birth abortion," unquote. So the Catholics went to hell in a handbasket a long time ago. We're not even surprised. I was shocked to see the Baptists. Here in Colorado, we've been fighting the Catholic diocese for 15 years over whether or not we should regulate the murder of innocent children or whether we should fight it. They're happy to regulate it. I don't understand that, but that's where they are. Meanwhile, even Rush Limbaugh is getting scared. WorldNet Daily reports that Limbaugh decried the wanton devaluing of life and total loss of the appreciation for the sanctity of life and the miracle of life, said Rush. Unquote. I happened to be listening to this as I was driving around this past week. I listened to Rush Limbaugh as he said, quote, "To just casually be able to discard this," talking about an unborn child, "by a political party." And I noticed when he said that, he said, "To just be able to discard an unborn child by a political party, you don't think that this has deleterious, dramatically destructive impacts on the society at large? 13-year-olds are shooting 10-year-olds, and people are asking themselves, how can this happen? Look no further than stuff like this," Rush said. "My God, this is satanic." He actually said those words. But you know what I noticed? I noticed when he said, my God, this is satanic, but that's obvious. I noticed that Rush said, to just be able to casually discard an unborn child by a political party? So Rush Limbaugh puts this on the Democrats, because that's what Rush Limbaugh does. Rush Limbaugh puts it on the Democrats. Well, the Supreme Court that passed Roe versus Wade, it was Republican. The courts that have upheld the killing of unborn children for the better part of 50 years, dominated by Republicans. People who pay for a lot of abortions, Republican congressmen and senators. But now he thinks it's satanic that the Democrats. Anyway, so here's the thing about Limbaugh that I realized in that moment when I heard him say, by a political party. Rush Limbaugh chose to make child killing a darkly funny bit about 30 years ago. The collar abortions. If you've been listening, you remember. So he came up with this darkly humorous bit 30 years ago, and he decided that for the purpose of career advancement and financial gain, that he would leave it at that. It would just be a dark little sick bit that he did. Because he never really lifted up his voice or took any sort of political or career risk regarding the murder of tens of millions of innocent children. He never did. But he's finally realizing, I think, maybe, that was the hill, Rush, 30 years ago, when there was outrage about the collar abortion, that was the hill to stand on. That was the hill to fight on. That was the hill to even die on when it came to your career. And I think Rush is realizing something that I realized quite some time ago. That once we allowed them to legally murder people, we lost any standing to tell them how and when they could murder people. See, it's a non sequitur. You can't allow that and then assume that you can come in later and stop it from degenerating into utter madness, wild, wanton bloodshed in the streets. You can't stop it. Let's get to this. Everyone thinks Trump is stopping it. Why? Well, because Donald Trump and his administration have announced that they are going to cut Title X funds from Planned Parenthood. In fact, Fortune magazine and other outlets have very deceptive headlines. Trump administration blocks funding from family planning centers with abortion services. They make it sound as if Trump is going to defund Planned Parenthood, when that's not what he's going to do. He's going to cut off one small Title X. He's going to maybe cut that off. They're going to review the policy and possibly, maybe, they're going to cut off. Title X accounts for about 10% of the financial money, of the federal dollars that Planned Parenthood gets, about 10%. It's not going to touch any of the Medicaid reimbursements. So Planned Parenthood will still get hundreds of millions of dollars with which they will butcher children, and they're going to get that money from you and I and Donald Trump and Sarah Huckster Sanders. They're going to get all that money from us to continue killing children. But Donald Trump, although he may not be a big fan of the Bushes, he is obviously an astute student of them, because the Bushes knew when to throw the Christians a bone. And it was about a year before we geared up for the election cycle in earnest. You need to throw the Christians something so that they'll be satisfied and they'll shut up and get in line. And we can start making them afraid of how bad the Democrats are. So for all you Christians and all you conservatives, this is your bone that Trump is throwing you in fine Bush tradition. He throws us this. He's gonna possibly scale back $60 million to abortion clinics. Meanwhile, while the right hand was doing that, you didn't see what the left hand was doing, because this is the big bamboozle and it's going down right now. While pulpits around the country tout Donald Trump as the most pro-family president since George Washington because he's going to cut Title X funds, NBC News reports that the Trump administration is launching a global campaign to end the criminalization of homosexuality in all nations where it is still illegal to be gay. That's right. Led by U.S. Ambassador and homo, Richard Grenell, Trump and his minions are leading the effort. The U.S. Embassy is flying in LGBT activists for a strategy dinner. That happens this week. Other U.S. embassies and diplomatic posts throughout Europe, including the mission to the EU, are involved, as is the State Department's Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, Labor, and Homos. So, they say that this policy is partially aimed at denouncing Iran. Yeah. Yeah, because the Iran, it's illegal to be a homo in Iran. So the one thing that we should be able to give Iran credit for causes Donald Trump to start a campaign to decriminalize homosexuality everywhere on the globe. And for all of you Christians touting Donald Trump as the most pro-family president since John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, and Dwight David Eisenhower, keep in mind that as a candidate, Trump was relatively ambiguous about his position on homos. But, notably, he became the first Republican nominee to mention homos and the rights that they have in his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention, which we pointed out to all of the gullible evangelicals praising Donald Trump in the pulpits this Sunday, who will be praising him next Sunday, who aren't watching what the left hand is doing because, as usual, they are succumbing to the big Bush bamboozle that Donald Trump learned so well at the feet of the Bushes that he despises so much. That's it, folks. I made it. In fact, I made it longer than normal. Look at that. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at American Right to Life. And, of course, my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.